The opinions of Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gal Media station.
And here we go.
From the renterswarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And The Blitz is on for a Tuesday. Happy Tuesday. There's no Fred Fowler here today, though we have signs of life. He is not dead, as was inaccurately reported at one point. He's alive and well, still in Canada, and Mike Liebeschock is here in his stead.
Yep. Finally, man. I get the cross A.J. Hoffman off the list now.
We've never worked together before?
Never, ever. Other than, like, at a remote here and there, you and Fred would pull, you know, like a rock the mic thing to just chat for a segment. No, you and I have never worked together.
I thought we worked together in that other room, no. The other studio.
And me and Fowler, me and Fred worked together for the first time last month.
Really?
Yeah, and then I work with Raheel Friday morning for the first time. So I'm down in Granado and Salisbury, I guess.
Salisbury's never here. You can't work with
him. That's true, yeah. That's more of a fantasy or a theory.
That dude's always on vacation. It's impossible.
But Fred or someone at least using Fred's account has been putting pictures up from Regina.
Nudes?
No.
Oh, good.
No. Someone's good. Been putting pictures up of the landscape up there.
How's the landscaping in Regina?
I don't know. I didn't see an airstrip.
Is it trimmed down pretty well?
No, dude. The brush looked thick up there. Oh. I'm just saying, yeah.
Well, that's Canada for you.
But when you only stop
Bunch
in,
of hippies.
You stop in once a year for 2 weeks at a time.
You can't complain.
No.
You can't complain about the shrubbage
when
you don't get there that often. You just make the most of it.
It's got to be tended to.
That's right. Well, we will we'll try to make this a good show for you. I can't make any promises.
No.
I can't. But we'll do our best to entertain while we're on the air today. As I've said for, God, I mean, it's been the last several weeks. There's not a lot going on in sports that I care about. I don't know when that's going to start up again. I don't know when...
when your interest will be peaked once again.
Yeah, I don't know what it's going to take for me to be interested in sports.
Week one?
That might be it.
Week three of the exhibition season, maybe.
That might be it. Well, yeah. College football will do it for sure. That'll get me involved, but...
Yeah, it's cool when these colleges start tweeting out how many days till their first Saturday, whatever, and you're getting closer to the 30s now, so it's kind of cool. You know, there's daylight at the end of the tunnel.
And there's good games right out the gate
in
college football, including one right here in our own town with the Cougs taking on Boomer Sooner. I can get behind that. Like, that'll be a fun watch, but until then...
How long will be a fun watch, though, for, I mean... Second quarter, maybe.
Oh, that game?
Yeah. So I think it's off the rails.
I think they'll hang for a half or so. Yeah. I don't give them much chance to win, but I think they can be fairly competitive in that game.
Kind of got sportsy real quick there, didn't it?
It did, really quickly, out of the gate. And I thought...
Got to pace ourselves here, bro.
I figured the most sportsy thing we would talk about today would be the big fight. The big battle that took place yesterday. Within Club Astros.
Yeah.
I mean, we're such a happy-go-lucky bunch, yet there's shoving and yelling and anger and rage. I don't understand where all this is coming from. I thought we could all be friends, but apparently not. There is some drama in Club Astro, and I got to be honest. I can't be on Team Mike Fiers in this situation. I like Mike Fiers just fine, but if you can't get out of the fourth inning against the A's, I can't think of a reason why they're not justified in pulling you. If this were, let's say, for instance, Clayton Kershaw is out there throwing. Let's not even be like that. Let's just say it's Dallas Keuchel.
There you go.
Dallas Keuchel's on the mound, and he's struggling against Oakland. I can see you sticking with him and trying to let him right that ship. But
you kind of got to remember you're Mike Fiers.
And you've already given up six.
Against the A's.
Against Oakland, correct.
I mean, you give up six in a full outing against Oakland, and it's like, oof. Give up six in four innings? You should get pulled.
And I mean, and if anyone isn't clear what you're talking about, it wasn't like Major League Two where the Indians were throwing down their own dugout like a brawl. It was him lingering on the mound, getting after Hinch when Hinch pulled him, him having more words in the dugout.
Like not
with him.
Wanting to give up the ball?
Exactly.
What are we, children?
Nah, I ain't going. I'm staying out of here.
I mean, that's what I deal with that because I coach the pitchers for sure. My kids' little league team. And when it's time to pull one, you go out there and you got to take the ball from them. They're like,
"You have a pitching coach at that age?
Come on, let me get one more." Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
You got to keep track of how many innings they've pitched and things like that because they've got limits.
Gotcha.
So you go out there to take the ball from them, and they're like, "Coach, let me do one more. Let me one more batter." But those are 9-year-old kids, so it makes sense. Once you're a grown-ass man in the major leagues, listen, Mike Fiers' paycheck is the same whether or not he gives up six or goes eight shutout in that game. His game check is the same. He's going to be all right. I understand wanting to be competitive. At that point, you'd lost being competitive, and it wasn't going well.
How messed up is it potentially? And it's hard to tell because they didn't really tell you everything that went down. But if Carlos Gomez is the voice of reason trying to calm you down,
that's how surprising.
How far off the plank have you gone there?
That's surprising. But Carlos Gomez is right.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, he's like, dude, you can't. If you're going to throw a fit and kick the Gatorade bucket, go do that in the back where people can't see. You're acting like a baby. And I guess eventually Mike Fiers settled down, but –
I guess. You heard a report he maybe busted
his hand. There was somebody tweeting out that he had busted his hand. I never saw that, so I don't know if that's true. Hmm. But there were people saying that his hand was bleeding. I don't know. I don't believe that until I see. I got to see the evidence. But, I mean, you being upset that you're taken out is one thing, but, like, digging in your heels and standing on the mound and not wanting to leave the game.
You haven't earned that.
You're not that guy.
Not remotely, no.
We're not there yet. This is a guy who, in his best season in the majors.
You're searching.
His best season in the majors, he was 6-5. I mean, that's, and that was playing in the National League. Dudes are hitting now.
And he's not even Keiko level, who had one really good year and
no.
Has been all right. Better.
You got a 4.75 ERA.
Know your role.
I don't want to crap on the dude. He's actually.
Oh, he's been crapped on.
He's been better than I would have even thought, really. He's not like the worst guy on the team, but at the end of the day, you got to remember you're still Mike Fiers. And when the manager comes out to take the ball from you, when you've given up six runs against the A's in four innings, just hand him the ball and realize, hey, wasn't my night.
Oh, yeah.
I'll get him next time. That's what you got to do.
I'm in Oakland. It's a nice night out. Get to pack it in a little bit early.
And he had gotten close to getting out of that jam a couple times.
Within a strike?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I understand the frustration, but
yeah, it's all good.
At the same time, you leave him out there, and you give up eight runs in four innings against Oakland. What's that do for him? Mm. I mean, it wasn't his worst outing of the season, but it was close to it.
You have a texter here from the 850. I have no idea where that is. They want to know if Fred could possibly get crabs in Regina. I don't know if you've already covered that in the week and a half he's been gone. I would think that might have been already covered.
That is the Florida Panhandle, 850, which
they got their own issues down there.
Boy, you got bigger issues than crabs, especially Fred's crabs. You need to worry about your own life, sir, living in that Florida Panhandle. But, yes, of course you can get crabs in Regina, especially this time of year with the overgrowth and things like that.
You never know what's out there.
It's dangerous. You never know what's lurking in those woods. All right, guys, going to tell you about Allied Outdoor Solutions. As the seasons change, you're going to want to be out in the backyard. You want to be entertaining out there in the summertime. You want a custom outdoor kitchen. You want an outdoor water fire feature. These guys can do it. Allied Outdoor Solutions can. They can also renovate your fading pool deck, your grayed out patio, your outdated driveway with a carved stone overlay. And if you've got something like that, you've got a problem area, like your patio looks like crap, it's going to cost you a lot of money and a lot of hassle to tear everything out of there and start over. That's where this carved stone comes in. It can give you the superior look of real stone on your existing surface for a lot less money. It's troweled, hand-carved, custom-colored for your home, so it looks great. It's very durable, twice as strong as concrete, and Allied stands behind carved stone with a 7-year warranty. They can help you with residential and commercial projects, and they can help you hang on to some money, too. Several monthly payment options. They even offer 0% financing for up to 18 months. Save yourself that hassle and expense of tearing everything out and starting over. Get a carved stone overlay for the look and feel of real stone for less from Allied Outdoor Solutions today. You can stop by the showroom, which is I-10 in the Beltway. Check out everything they could do in your backyard. It's gonna be, you're gonna have a hard time choosing what you want them to do. It's gonna be, there's so many great choices. You can check out the Carved Stone Projects photo gallery at AlliedOutdoorSolutions.com. That's AlliedOutdoorSolutions.com, or give them a call for a risk-free estimate. 713-465-0400. That's 713-465-0400 for Allied Outdoor Solutions.
ESPN 97.5. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
No Fred Fowler, A.J. Hoffman in, as almost always, although I won't be in tomorrow. Who's doing the show tomorrow? Do we know, John?
The HD show is doing the show tomorrow.
The HD show filling in for The Blitz tomorrow. I will be on a jet airplane headed to Las Vegas, Nevada for the Crawford Postal fight this weekend, and which also means that I won't be here Thursday or Friday, but I will be contributing to the show in some way. It's just going to be awkward.
That's superhuman of you, man. Two time zones away, and you're still chipping in.
I'll help out.
Me and Laminack will hold, we got Friday.
Well, who's doing the show Thursday?
It will be Jerome Solomon and Danny Mata.
Okay. Interesting.
Going old school.
All right. Well, I just want people to know that if the ratings this week suck, it's not my fault, John. Right?
Well, the ratings for this month, the shows haven't been the same. So
okay.
It's not like we're going to take it. It's not like this is, you know,
so
September or October.
You're not going to fire me over this book
is what you're saying.
No. Okay, good. Because John's threatened to fire me before on ratings day. I don't need to deal with that.
Well, the place was still standing when you got back. I mean, what else could go wrong? Frankly, that was a turbulent 2 weeks while you were gone.
That's true. I was only gone 1 week.
It felt like two.
I don't know who can just take 2 weeks off. It's a long time.
Good to be the king, I think.
It must be. Good for Freddie.
Good for Fred.
Good for Freddie. I mean, I wouldn't want to go that far. If I go all the way to Regina, I want to stick around for a while. You know, I don't want to just go in and out real quickly. I want to make the most of that. I want to get deep into the culture of Regina.
Salisbury's been gone for longer than Fred over the last.
Oh,
he's on a special contract.
I think,
dude, I gotta figure this out. What is the deal with that? Like, how?
I don't know.
How do I sign up for that gig?
I don't know.
He takes more time than Mike and Mike. I mean, that dude is gone constantly.
He's gone. He's been gone the last, I want to say, 5-6 weeks more than I've seen him around here in the last 2 or 3 months.
Good for him, I guess. I mean, I wish. I'm too. I think maybe I'm too much of an egomaniac, and I can't let my show be run by other people for that long because I feel like they'll screw it up.
You're right.
So even when I take a week off, I'm.
You're right.
I can't really even relax because I'm always nervous about what's happening here when I'm gone. There's no way I could be gone as much as that dude, but I guess if I had Sean Salisbury's job security, I would be gone all the time. I'd leave whenever I felt like it. But
yeah,
I gotta be out here. I gotta scratch and claw every month to make sure these guys keep me around. You know how it is. I wanted to. Did you? I guess you. if you have the interwebs or a television, there's no way you've avoided it. Melania Trump gave a speech last night that was...
Given before? Is that a good way of putting it?
Well, listen, it wasn't exactly word for word, but it was a lot of words for a lot of words. And everything that's happened, and I can only hope that the Democratic convention is this crazy. I don't know if it will be. I kind of hope it is, though. I hope they're all insane. But this thing that's happening in Cleveland, it couldn't get much crazier than this, right?
I don't know. I mean, I saw the entrance. I thought I was watching WrestleMania when I saw Trump roll out the video. I saw. First of all, I'm at the point where I don't watch any of this firsthand. I'm choosing to work smarter than work harder. I'll sit back and look at Twitter and see all that Lou Holtz cruising around with a bottle of Crown Royal in his hand, greeting people, which is a little bit surreal. And then, yeah, Mrs. Trump's speech was obviously the highlight of the evening, and rightfully so. You've seen several people putting them side by side.
Don't you fire someone for that?
No one has been fired over it. Specifically, they've made that announcement. No one is getting canned over that.
And they're making it sound like she wrote that speech herself, which we all know isn't true.
No.
And I will say, I wish that there was a law that if you give speeches, you had to write your own. If you're a politician, I wish speechwriters would go away, because I'd like to see what these dudes really could come up with. You know, I want to see what do you got.
I think it'd be hilarious.
Oh, it'd be golden.
It'd be hilarious, and you'd know where you stand.
Yeah.
Most of the time.
But as it is, I mean, someone else's words, it doesn't mean much, but...
For them to talk about her speaking heartfelt words about how she feels about her family and this, that, and the other, but she didn't write it at the same time. I guarantee she wasn't even conferred upon for it. It's just a little bizarre, but it is what it is now, man.
Also, a strange move by Speaker Paul Ryan when when trying to get everybody on the same page, which is it's sort of a theme at the RNC.
It's like herding cats. Isn't that the saying I keep hearing?
That's what they're working with.
Yeah.
But he went with an odd choice for how to bring together Texans. He said... When you advance to a national championship, don't you root for a Longhorn if you're an Aggie? Start thinking that way.
Hmm. He has no idea what he's talking about.
I don't think he does.
No. Wolverines wouldn't root for Sparty. Neither would Badgers, I'm pretty sure. Yeah, he's a little out of the loop.
No. Only in the SEC does that conference pride thing kick in.
Well, hell, they hang banners in all the stadiums, don't they?
Doesn't yeah.
Vanderbilt have Alabama?
They do.
Yeah.
They've got several national championships from Alabama. But that's not the way to go, in my opinion. I think you'd probably just stay away from that, Paul Ryan. That's not a good look. But what do I know? I'm not the that's a tough job.
Now you're still waiting for that one first lucid thought to come from him. To be honest, nothing would surprise me at this point.
Well, a lot came out of that Republican National Convention, and this was just the first day. The candidate's wife was widely accused of plagiarism. A congressman said on television that whites have done more for civilization than non-whites. That's entertaining. A former child star defended a meme calling Hillary Clinton a rhymes with funt. A soap opera actor called the president a Muslim. And a Duck Dynasty star accused some Americans of just wanting free stuff. So those things were all, that's all gold to me. And the opening prayer referred to Clinton and the Democrats as, quote, the enemy. That was before they stole the speech from the enemy.
That's tough.
Yeah.
And so. How did Scott Baio end up trending out of all of this? My understanding, he was a major personality involved last night.
Scott Baio was, did you know Scott Baio was seriously involved in the party?
No clue.
I wouldn't, you couldn't have That's like so far down the list of guys I would have even thought to think of their name. But he was there, and he said that Hillary Clinton is a woman who somehow feels entitled to the presidency, that she is somehow owed it. He said that he would make America America again. So he's there. He's excited, and he's
full of Native Americans, I assume.
Yeah,
is what he meant, right?
Yeah, he said, "For you first-time voters, it's important to know what it means to be American. It doesn't mean getting free stuff." He says, and by the way, it was him, and then right after him was Willie Robertson from Duck Dynasty. So these are the people that they're running out there.
Last time I saw Scott Baio, he was playing an attorney on Arrested Development whose name was Bob LeBlanc.
Okay. Well, that's good.
Somewhat fitting.
That's good. Well, I can only hope, like I said.
Yeah.
This is a mess. I kind of knew it would be a mess. I hope that Hillary's coronation as the Democratic nomination is just as hilarious.
I think there's just enough crazy people. Life. Yeah, there's enough crazy people on either side to make those equally. I won't watch any of it, but I look forward to everyone's comments and tweets and Facebook posts and all that good stuff.
Who would have thought that we'd be here? I mean, it's so funny to me that we've had Obama and Bush have had two of arguably the worst president, like two of the worst terms, or two of the
back-to-back
too. Yeah, back-to-back. And I honestly, I would take four more years of either over what we're about to get. I mean, that's where we're at.
I was actually thinking that this morning. First of all, I was thinking what kind of, to me, at least an afterthought, the election is, given everything else you guys spent 4 hours, 3 hours talking about 2 weeks ago, given the landscape socially.
Oh.
The presidency is almost, to me, like a back burner thing. It was like, how about we just let things be for another 2 years, get everything else straightened out, then let's have an election.
Let's just not have a president for a while.
Or not, yeah.
Yeah, let's just
Let Larry David take over the country.
That's a good idea.
For a couple years.
That's a good idea.
I think it'd be a fantastic idea.
I mean, we could come up with a couple people. Like, give everybody like a week trial run. Like, when you first get Netflix,
before you pay
for it, you take that free week.
It's a great idea.
And you binge watch as much as you can if you don't plan on paying for it. It might be the move.
Who do you guys nominate for this trial? 713-780-3776. Tweet or call. Text or call.
All right, Mike Liebeschock at Shock975. You can hear him with Barry Laminack on Houston Game Day on Sundays.
Yep.
From 10 to noon.
Please tune in.
I guess you guys are waiting for football season, too. Your show is probably a lot easier to do during football season.
It's more open, and now we can kind of freewheel a little bit. We're a little more boxed in come football, but it's perfectly good with us.
All right. So listen to their show. Listen to our show today. We'll do some sports. We'll do some not sports. We'll do some life talk. That's what Mike Liebeschock is good for.
Oh, yeah, man. I'm all about that life.
It's a Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
The Blitz.
Don't you get it?
On ESPN 97.5. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
No Fred Fowler, A.J. Hoffman, Mike Liebeschock doing the show. Jong Lee on the ones and twos and threes occasionally behind the glass. John, remember we were going to take the glass out. What happened to that?
I think it was a little too expensive to remove.
I could do it on the cheap.
Was that in the old studio?
That was in the old studio. Yeah. Here, I guess it doesn't make as much sense, but in the old studio, it was very strange. Like, we set
to be 2 feet from
the producer. 2 feet away from him, but there was like a plate of glass between us. It was very strange. Let's take a call. Let's talk to Brian. Hello, Brian. Sports to you.
Hey, guys. Hey, love the show. Hey, quick question with all the PC politically correct culture becoming more and more in society. Which do you think is going to be banned first, NFL or the football or MMA? And how many years do you think it will take? Thanks, guys.
Man.
Neither.
I don't think either are going away anytime soon.
Oh, MMA is getting into places where it's never been allowed before.
Yeah.
You know?
What I will say is I think football is under more scrutiny right now. And I think that there are going to be some big-time rule changes eventually in football that people hate. I fully expect that to come eventually, but I don't think that either one of them are going to be banned.
Well, they're now talking about taking the kickoff out of college ball. It's something that's getting thrown around at the college level, just about taking the foot out of football altogether. And if they like it at the college level, then they'll try and seep that into the NFL somehow.
I'm against that.
It seems stupid to me, though.
I'm against that. Listen, everybody who plays these sports, they fully understand the consequences involved now. You know, I understand these leather helmet guys. They didn't know what they were getting into, maybe. But now with all this data and stuff, if you're playing football, you understand that, man, you're going to get hit, and it could have long term effects. And if you're willing to take that money to play that game anyway, good on you. Good luck to you, man. But we're seeing more and more. A lot of guys are saying, hey, you know what? My long-term health is more important than playing football, and they're walking away from it.
It amazed me it never occurred to these guys that ramming my head first into another guy wearing a helmet, or in the days of leather helmets, whatever, no one ever thought that this could have repercussions.
That is a little surprising.
It's a little bizarre.
I feel like that's one of those, I could have told you that.
Hell yeah.
I'm no doctor, but I could have warned you of that.
For sure.
But what do I know? Like I said, I'm no doctor.
No.
Hello, Alex. You're on the program. Sports to you.
Sports.
What's up?
I want to nominate Greg Popovich for that temporary presidential position. I think, first of all, he would have both parties working together well. He would have short press conferences, and he works well with foreigners.
Okay.
Huh.
So. It might work. That's He's salty, though.
There would be no AAU players in the cabinet. Or any of his staff?
No.
Couldn't believe in it?
No.
He does have the most diverse roster in the league, for sure. There would be a lot of flopping.
Possibly.
Fundamentally sound.
But you can make America great again.
Make America great again. Hell yeah. Put some rings on him.
Yeah.
No fades.
Yeah.
Worst haircuts in all of America.
There'd be championships.
For sure.
And that's what really matters in the end. I don't know if I want him to be the face of America, though.
He's right, though. Those State of the Union addresses would be quick.
Very brief. It would never mess up whatever you're recording on your DVR.
And I hope Sager is around long enough to be part of that, Speaker of the House or something.
Maybe so.
From 713, I wasn't aware of this. I guess the B sample came back on Lesnar. Positive. You're aware? Thoughts?
Not aware. No, but
you're not shocked.
I'm not shocked at all. Not shocked at all. Listen, and I guess now we'll wait another week or so, and we'll figure out. They'll tell us exactly what it was, and it, you know, the scuttle is that it was from his inhaler, and
I wasn't aware he was on one.
I didn't know that either, but we'll see if that's the case once the actual PED that he was taking is announced. But one of his teammates says that his asthma inhaler is the culprit. He said Brock suffers from what's called RAD, otherwise known as reactive airway disease. His doctor for years has prescribed him Advair Diskus, an inhaler, which helps him breathe during the late spring and summer months here when he has episodes. And he said this was in Minnesota. The drug is classified as beta 2 agonists. So this is why he got popped by USADA. It's really just a formality, though, because he should have been given a TUE, just like the people who have ADHD and take Adderall that fight in the UFC or other painkillers for injuries. He passed the other 7 tests and was not using any GH or anabolic agents of any kind, which is what everyone is assuming. And we'll find out. I mean, if that's the case, you know, he'll probably get like a 6-month suspension. I said this yesterday. That's what they ended up doing with Yoel Romero.
And Jones is under the same thing right now. He's on that temporary until his appeal gets heard.
Right. And his manager is going through all his supplements and trying to match up these performance enhancers to a supplement that he took. So they can say, well, this was tainted. We unknowingly ingested these. You got to prove that, though. And that's
wow.
That's a tough thing, man.
Wow.
If he's found guilty of the violation, he would face a penalty from the Nevada State Athletic Commission of $1.25 million up to $1.875 million. I don't know how they come around with that, but that's what they're going for.
Yeah, 281 texting, what are the odds the results don't go public until after SummerSlam? I don't think Vince McMahon would have any control over that. He's obviously the guy getting screwed harder than anybody else here because he did a solid for Dana and for Brock, and now he's screwed. But when you said Brock's manager going through his inhalers.
No,
I'm picturing Paul Heyman.
John Jones' manager is who I was talking about.
Holy hell, Paulie Dangerously going through Brock Lesnar's inhaler would be hilarious.
Bobby the Brain Heenan, like trying to dig through his stuff.
Goodness gracious.
I could see that. We found out earlier this week that John Jones' test was failed for estrogen blockers, which basically
increasing the testosterone. Yeah,
basically what he's trying to prevent man boobs. Is what it boils down to is you want to get hulked out, but you don't want boobies at the end. You got to take this stuff. And that's what apparently he was taking.
Now the B sample failing the B sample, is that different than the in day competition?
The B sample was taken the same day.
So there's another report coming out saying that he failed the test that he took right before the fight.
Okay. I haven't seen that yet. Hmm. Did that come down? Like since our show started?
Let me double check here. It's I guess it was reported by Mark Ramondi. He said he tweeted out Brock Lesnar also failed in competition drug test at UFC 200.
Wow.
And he wrote up an article and that broke at 4:30.
Okay, well that would be considered new.
So that's completely different than the B sample, correct?
That is different than the B sample. The B sample was taken the same day. The in-competition testing is the test you take direct, like it's a 12-hour window before and after the fight. So they can test you, they can have you pee while you're warming up in the back, or they can come back and say, hey, congratulations on your win. We need you to pee in this cup. Yeah. And that's the in-competition testing. So that's a lot different. The one he tested, or one he failed on June 28th, is an out-of-competition test. And he failed. Apparently, both tests were failed for the same substance. So, I'll read that, and I'll try and have more about it on the other side. But
you keep saying you're not a doctor yet. Here you are.
Well, yeah, I'm not.
That's crazy. That's crazy.
Yeah. It says here, and this is Mark Ramondi. He's from MMA Fighting. He's a fairly reputable guy. It says that both the in competition and out of competition tests were for the same banned substance. USADA has yet to reveal the name of the drug and won't unless Lesnar makes it public first himself.
Mm. That's not happening.
I'm guessing
not. No.
They're saying this test will be lumped into the previous one as a single violation. Two positive tests would be considered aggravating circumstances, which would lead to further sanctioning. He's not going to have to deal with that. But he's still facing a 2-year ban. So
we're looking at UFC 224 as the return of Lesnar and John Jones on one card. I say start promoting the hell of that thing now.
I guess so. Lesnar was tested 8 times in total in the month leading up to UFC 200, passed the first 5 tests, and now has failed 2 of the last 3.
So every time he turns around and take a whiz, there's a dude with a cup there for the better part of a month saying, hey, give it up. We got to know.
Yep.
That's crazy. 210 texting in. I was on the inhaler as a kid. Definitely contains a type of steroid. Well, I know there's definitely almost an amphetamine because my many kids were running around like friggin' hummingbirds after they took that puff. But yeah, that sounds about right. And the stuff my kids were on aren't the same stuff you were talking about. There was something in there too.
But what I don't understand is if that's something that you're dealing with or you've dealt with before, I mean, how are you not telling the UFC, hey, I take this inhaler. This is the deal.
Well, go ahead.
Because they'll give you an exception for things like that.
Didn't Chris Davis get bounced 2 years back because he's on Adderall and he didn't check in with
something
MLB?
Like that.
But he's done it every other year and he gets that dispensation. Brock was apparently just negligent here, I would assume. It seems like that would be common knowledge as long as he's been around. People would know that he's on that kind of stuff.
And Mike Dolce, who is a kind of a well-known nutritionist in the MMA world. He's got this thing called the Dolce diet. He helps a lot of people who have a hard time making weight get to weight. And he says that basically taking supplements would be, it's not really even a good excuse, he says. He says, even if it appears to be low risk, he says there's no excuse, especially at the elite level. We're talking about millions of dollars off a scoop of some $20 sucralose-laden crap that's not giving any performance anyway. And I'll say there are supplements out there that are intentionally doped that the supplement store owner knows, and they kind of lie under the fringe, and they're sitting on the shelf at the supplement store clerk is going to be like, this is the one. So he says if they're using these supplements, they're already taking enough risk to begin with. He said, we don't need supplements. You should begin all your nutrition through food and proper lifestyle.
$2.5 million you risk by taking at least a scoop of that crap.
Apparently John Jones was at an eight-figure payday that he got zero of.
Well, they've been projecting over the next 2 years the money that he's lost.
Yeah.
He's old like Brock. He's a kid by comparison, you know?
All right, we'll be back. It's the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
All right, we are back on the Blitz. Mike Liebeschock in for Fred Fowler. We're talking about Brock Lesnar, who has failed another drug test at UFC 200, this time the in-competition test. Not a good look. Here's the deal, though. If they suspend him now from WWE, he could be back in time for SummerSlam. And that's what really matters, right?
They do. I think
because he has a big
30,
fight coming up.
I guess.
Are you not a wrestling guy? I thought you were a wrestling
guy.
No,
I do follow it. I'm not a mark like a lot of these cellar dwellers out there, but I think it's 30 days. I think I did read if they pulled the trigger on him now, they would have him back in time. Yes.
So wouldn't you just kind of do that anyway, make that the move?
You would think. They haven't really even acknowledged it on their program. And like Roman Reigns, when that dude got suspended, that was like out in front. Like they led with
they
that.
They talk about it on the air, like that their guys have steroids?
They have acknowledged. Well, in the Roman Reigns case, yeah, they've made it a storyline. Part of it. And Brock Lesnar, all they've done was acknowledge that he has a match at SummerSlam against Randy Orton. They haven't talked about it, the suspension, and you know, any of the steroid related stuff or PED related stuff.
Okay. It's a weird thing.
It really is.
Yeah, I mean nobody really cares if you do it in WWE, I don't feel like. It's not like you're looked at differently.
No, but you know what? We were talking about the football players earlier. There was a story that broke either yesterday or today about a few dozen guys trying to sue Vince now for concussions and lingering injuries after they
Superfly Jimmy Snooker, right?
He's at the front of that, yeah.
Saw that.
Mr. Wonderful Paul Orndorff is another one that people my age would remember, maybe not your age.
I remember him,
a little bit of a gap.
He was already an old man when I watched him. But
yeah, he was a douche, too. But yeah. Yeah, there apparently dozens of those guys trying to play that line now.
Is that going
to
work out for them, you think?
No. They've done this several times, and Vince always gets off without anything. So, nice try.
But, like, I mean, nobody's going to boo Brock Lesnar at WrestleMania because he got popped for a steroid test, right? Wrestling fans don't really care about this stuff.
He could saw a puppy in half on stage, and they would be cheering him.
Okay.
Because that's just the way those people are.
I guess so.
It's fake anyway, right?
Yeah.
It's still real to some of you people, but it's fake. It doesn't matter.
UH fan will be glad to know that as I was scrolling through my Twitter timeline, Joe Shad says, this seems out of the blue, kind of unprovoked, The Big 12 should have at least 12 teams. Add two of Houston, Central Florida, and Cincinnati, and you're stronger overall.
Is that speculation, or is it him guessing or hinting? Or
I think that's just him making a statement.
Interesting.
But he said that George Schrader tweeted out, this is a surprise, and he's a writer for USA Today Sports. He said, this is a big surprise, the Big 12 board asked Commissioner Bowlsby to survey interest from universities interested in joining the Big 12. So,
well, there was a story yesterday on CBS regarding the Pac-12 not expanding, and if anyone had had a theory that UH might try to go there, which would just be too weird, honestly, to put them in that mix, that's definitely not happening. So if you want to be part of a Power 5, that looks like your option.
Yeah.
If you're U of H.
If that's really an option.
Yeah.
I still say, and we talked about this a little bit yesterday, at the end of the day, the Big 12, what they are able to do as far as adding teams, it comes down to, do Texas and Oklahoma want to add teams? Do they want their piece of the pie to be smaller? And I can't speak for Oklahoma, but I worked around that Texas program long enough to know that the answer is probably no. They're not worried about what the other teams are getting. They're worried about their pie, and they want to make sure they're getting as much of that pie as they can.
Is there a chance that part of it is they don't even want any more tough competition coming in? Because, I mean, when I first moved here, Texas was near the top.
Listen, if you added Central Florida and Cincinnati,
right?
And realistically, I mean, UH has been good, but when you put these teams into a bigger conference, it's not like U of H is going to go in and win the Big 12 the first year. You know, it takes some time. It took a lot of time for TCU to adjust to being in the Big 12. You know, there's an adjustment period. And because if you win 9 or 10 games in the American Conference or the Mountain West, whatever, and you get thrown into a big conference, it doesn't instantly translate. I don't think anybody would be scared of competition. I was telling this to Barry yesterday. Barry is in such a stuck mindset that it's about on the field competition is what matters, and it really doesn't with these conferences. It's about money. Like, who can make a conference the most money?
Sure.
That's what they care about. And for Texas, is adding anyone going to bring enough money into the conference that it warrants them dividing up their share smaller? Because I think Texas feels that they, and rightfully so, I mean, that's the most, it's still, even when they suck on the field, which they have for years now, they're terrible, they're still the most profitable athletic program in the country.
For sure.
And they don't feel like they should share with teams that aren't bringing that kind of money in. And I said a long time ago, if the Big 12 does expand and they add UH or Cincinnati or Central Florida, any of these type of teams, eventually Texas is just going to leave the Big 12. And they'll be an independent, and they could survive easily as an independent and still be very profitable. And then what is the Big 12? If Texas leaves the Big 12.
You're Oklahoma.
And if Oklahoma leaves when Texas leaves, you're the American Conference.
You're back to the SWAC again.
That's sort of the deal, is the conference, they lost their other two big players over the last several years in Nebraska and Texas A&M. That was the other two big-time money programs. And you're down to two, and you kind of got to keep those two happy.
And I think Notre Dame has proven that you can remain an independent and still be relevant.
Very few teams that could do it.
Yeah, Texas has that brand.
That could do it. Oklahoma probably could. Oklahoma would easily be welcomed in the Big Ten or you know, maybe even the SEC. Who knows? I'm sure Texas would be too if they wanted to.
Oh yeah,
but it's a matter of where do these other schools go? And that's why, the reason why they haven't voted to add yet is because Texas is kind of bullying some of the other teams like Texas Tech and TCU and basically letting them know, hey, if you guys add teams, we're not going to take you with us when we go. And you know where you'll end up. And it's sad, but it's kind of true that without Texas in that conference, and who knows if Oklahoma would leave with them, but without those two schools, that conference is not a Power 5 conference. No matter how good Baylor plays next year, no matter how good TCU plays, it won't matter because there's not enough swagger to that conference without those two brands.
And I guess you don't have to be Texas. You could be a smaller program and still understand. Maybe it's more meaningful to them to have that money coming in the way it is. I mean,
that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, yeah.
Without Texas and Oklahoma in that conference, do you think ESPN is coming to pay them millions of dollars a year to run their games?
Hell no.
Of course not.
No.
And that's the sad reality of it, man. All right, we'll take some calls on the other side. Hour number one in the books already. It's the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
Set your clock and grab your jock.
This is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.